Welcome to what, episode 8? I think of Wrestling Rookie.
Sure. Absolutely. Why not?
We got canceled before episode 10, but we're back with the season with a December to Dismember episode here on Wrestling Wiki.
A special surprise in your wrestling stocking from your two pals, Bill and Chris, over here in Wrestling Land.
Bill and Chris.
We want to come talk to you about our favorite boys because it's been too long.
My father-in-law and me. All right.
Everyone's got a Bill in their family. Don't lie. Out there in podcast land, you've got a Bill in your family, and you love him, probably.
I don't know any bad Bills. So
let's not get too deep into that. We can probably find a couple pretty... I mean, I know one off the top of my head that's a pretty despicable Bill.
Sure. I didn't give that a lot of thought. You could say he's despicable. But we are here with a Christmas themed episode. But Will's gonna start us out with All That Matters and some sort of English jobber bonanza, I believe. Is that right, Will? Jobber of the week.
Yeah, so I've got a lot of pent up jobber energy in me from a small, some would say not so small, hiatus for this podcast. And I decided I would like to hit you, my friends, with what I call the epithet triple threat. That's right. Now, for those of you who didn't waste money and time getting a English degree in college, perhaps people who don't do the crossword or people who read a lot, an epithet, I'm not defining it technically here, I'm kind of taking a bit of a liberty here, but an epithet generally means a word that is appended to somebody's name as an honorific, like Alexander the Great, or it can be added in kind of to give a little extra zhuzh or let people know who you are. I have three gentlemen, all of which were listed as enhancement talent in my deep, deep research of the kind of recesses of the Federation. I mean, I think that's what we're doing right now. I'm enhancing iron sharpens iron, as it were. I was searching. Actually, the way I found these guys, funny enough, is I was looking through WCW enhancement talent, which is something I hadn't done before in the previous episodes. I think we stuck mainly in the Fed because that's generally where things happen. But WCW, you will be surprised to know, has a lot more nonsense and silliness. So I found three men. I'm going to give you their epithets, okay? The adjectives. And I want you to pick who goes first. There is no competition here. All three are interesting. One is buck wild, and one is kind of dull. They're all connected weirdly in a kind of a cool way, but I want you to pick between the following: a man named Hardbody.
Hot.
A man named Hard Work. And
hotter.
A man named Dangerous. Tell me who you think we want to go
rock
through.
Rock Hard. I mean, I'm gonna say these are our jobbers of the week. Give me that hard body.
I'm glad you started here. Remember when I said one was pretty buck wild? Well, we're going to get this one out of the way first. So Harrison Norris Jr. Wrestled as Hardbody Harrison. He was a Gulf War veteran, and he saw action in Desert Shield and Desert Storm, apparently.
I have a Desert Storm card right here. And it
who would have gotten you that? What kind of considerate friend would have bought you a Desert Storm card?
It's the only one I kept on my desk, and it just says unit size.
Well, keep that in mind, Chris, because this is going to take a weird turn.
All right,
so
great.
He was a platoon and motor sergeant, and got an honorable discharge in 95, right? Parlayed that into a wrestling career. So he trained at the WCW Power Plant and then debuted as, and this is Wiki here, because this is Wrestling Wiki after all, as a jobber, which is the most purple link on this page. As you can imagine, we've clicked that link 100 times, and I'll click it 100 more times. He was on Nitro. in Star and as well as 97's Starcade, it says. And here's something that's very interesting because this connects him to one of our other jobbers of the week. He's a black man. He was part of a class action lawsuit, or at least a large number of people all suing WCW, alleging racial discrimination. Rather, they sued AOL Time Warner, which I guess owned WCW. I know it was a Turner joint. I didn't realize Turner was involved with all that, but
AIM was historically racist
oh, I mean,
in
welcome to
canon.
wrestling. If you're new to wrestling, boy howdy, don't
I
get too
never
deep
felt
in
good
that
about
era.
using those minute disc.
But the suit was settled out of court. I think everybody was reported to have received a sizable payout, so a small modicum of justice at best. But he was also in a bunch of tough man competitions. Now, I'm not going to send you a picture of Hard Body Harrison, but let's just
He's a hard
wager a
body.
guess. And maybe, you know, he
Maybe
had a
I'll
few
pull up a.
syringes. He had a few syringes full of something or other that maybe helped him get that hard body. This is important.
Hey, sounds like you just don't like seeing people ex succeed, be elite, and you just can't deal with your own failure, okay? It sounds like hard body's clean to me.
This brings me to the section of the Wikipedia called Criminal Charges.
Oh, no.
Yep. So on August 18, 2004, Harrison was arrested by the Smyrna, Georgia Police Department on 3 counts of false imprisonment. After spending one night in jail, he posted a $55,000 bond. The FBI was involved. He was arrested on a 9-count federal indictment. Again, so he's back in prison now federally for false imprisonment and trafficking women for commercial sex acts. That's right. He was a God's honest pimp. He was trafficking women and using them for sex for money. Hardbody Harrison is objectively a bad guy.
He's a bad jobber. Bad. Bad
Ab
jobber. Bad.
absolutely the now I'm not going to read all of the criminal charges section, but I will say, now I think we use the term the Godfather, for instance, right? Great
Sure.
wrestler, Papa Shango, come Godfather. We all kind of joke around with the idea of a pimp as kind of a funny, fuzzy hat wearing guy. Hardbody Harrison's currently spending his life in prison. He was sent to a lifetime sentence in April 1st, 2008. So his wrestling career is far, even in word count on his Wikipedia, far outshadowed by the fact that he was objectively a really, really bad guy. So that's Hardbody Harrison. You want to
Yeah, what's my
swing a
second
pick there?
choice? I'm not laughing. That was a bummer.
That's a
What?
bummer. I told you I found some jobbers with epithets, and here we are.
That's
Okay, let's.
what are my other two choices?
I've got a 100% bummer-free guarantee, more or less, of these other two guys. We now have Hard Work and Dangerous.
Give me hard work. Hard body did me wrong, man. I don't know.
So we're taking hard to hard here.
Yeah.
Now, talk about the absolute polar opposite of Hardbody Harrison. I'd like you to meet Bobby Walker,
Soft body Steve.
aka Hard Work Bobby Walker.
All right.
Hard Work Bobby Walker made his he was around the same era. He made his debut in 89 as Hurricane Walker, which is, I think, probably a cooler name than Hard Work. But Hard Work, I think, what was that Brooks and Dunn song you're crazy about?
Oh, hard working man.
Hard Working Man. I feel like this is your guy.
Hard working man. Yes, song
I feel like
slaps.
Bobby Walker went from the Hurricane to the Hard Working Bobby Walker, and he's tickling that little nerve end, that Midwestern nerve ending that really
Yeah.
gets you.
Yeah.
He was NWA, and he teamed with Brian Knobbs. Talk about a throwback there. He, you know, had some general success, nothing super big. He bumped around to a bunch of interesting promotions like Frontier Martial Arts Wrestling. He,
Frontier martial arts. That's awesome.
which is a that's a that's a link that I want to click while you're doing your thing. It's a Japanese professional wrestling promotion. I want to know
How did
more
that
about
company
that.
not get off the ground with a name like that?
It's a really good name, although I'd imagine for the American audience, Frontier doesn't have the same kind of
Yeah.
connotation.
Yeah.
Feels a lot like we're just going to Colorado. But he Wrestled in the Fed for a hot minute, and then he trained at the power plant before being assigned by WCW. His run there was from 92 to 2000, so a pretty decent run there. He was consistently ranked in the top 500 PWI rankings, like just a rock solid guy. Nothing super serious, nothing super interesting, but you know, hardworking guy. He wrestled against name a guy: Ron Simmons, Cactus Jack, Tony Atlas, right? Too Cold Scorpio. Rather, sorry, he was replaced by Too Cold Scorpio in a match that he was injured for. Anyway, in 95, he began wrestling as Hard Work Bobby Walker, and his manager was my favorite, and frankly, probably if we had a jobber manager of the week, I would love to do a special on Teddy Long, a man that I met personally in Nashville. I think
Oh.
Teddy Long is like just classic showman, wearing a suit, making it happen. By the way, Walker, it says here in his wiki, he competed as, quote, a jobber to the stars. Another purple link that I have clicked
A
many
jobber to
times.
the stars. Amazing.
And he was in a ton of things. It says his only pay-per-view was in World War III in 95 as one of 60. That's
I didn't
6-0.
know World War III was a pay-per-view.
You missed it. Sorry. By the way, the cover art for World
Wait,
War III.
apologies. Don't remember that in school.
Well, we were 7 or 8. You know,
Oh, wait,
it was
that'd
a
be World
different
War
time.
III. World War III doesn't happen yet. We're idiots. We're so tired.
It may have already happened, is what
I
I'm saying.
sound so stupid.
I thought it was a
I have
bit.
a
I was just
history
going with it.
major. Oh my gosh.
I was just going with the bit, man. But he in 95, he was one of 60 men in a 3-ring battle royal, which is the most buck wild thing since the reverse battle royal, if you ask me, which is
I
better.
mean, which is the GOAT.
And it says he was chose to par to team with the Barbarian at Slammarie 96 for the Lethal Lottery.
Course.
He was injured by Lex Luger. Da da
Of course.
da. He eventually kind of went on and was released in 2000, and no other wrestling credits post. I will say though, he is listed as one of three people: Sonny Ono, Hardbody Harrison, remember him, and Hard Work Bobby Walker were the three named plaintiffs in that suit against WCW alleging racial discrimination. So it is, and there's more information about that lawsuit here, but they all made money and they got some sort of justice out of it, which is cool. But imagine the diametric opposites of Hard Work and Hard Body on the same witness stand, you know, or in the same
One
courtroom.
used that money for good, and the other used it for wood, you know?
Is it just a microcosm of the human condition to watch these two hard men use their power for evil and for good?
So much
Well,
hardness. What? Hit me with my third,
and
Joubert.
final, this is maybe my favorite. This is kind of a cool amalgamation of all of what we've talked about. Dangerous Danny Davis. He is my favorite of the three because he was a referee.
I'm looking
His
at this
whole
dangerous
thing
Danny Davis right now.
for so long was that he was a referee. Now, I think most people who Google like weirdo wrestlers will have come across a person named Mr. X. Have you heard of Mr. X? The Luchador?
Not sure. Not sure.
So Mr. X was kind of like the El Generico of his age, if you ask me.
Okay.
Just like a dude with a mask that was unremarkable. It was any number of colors. And he was kind of like a masked wrestler, kind of like a doink situation where like it could be anybody, who cares? But Dangerous Danny Davis was a referee, but he also wrestled as Mr. X as enhancement talent so that no one could know that he was the referee. So it's like a double jobber situation. A referee is the ultimate jobber. They do the job, they take the bumps, they turn a blind eye to the foreign objects. And then he was doing double duty as a double jobber on the weekends where he was wrestling on the same card as Mr. X and then, you know, going over for any old Tom, Dick, or Harry.
Jack Specific, just for the listeners out there, all of you, did make an elite of Dangerous Danny Davis in 09 in his referee outfit. The
That
fear.
they mentioned the fact that he made a big comeback as part of a reunion show, and instead of wearing his wrestling gear, he wore his referee gear, which I
You
think
can
is
get
very
one
nice.
signed through Pristine Auctions right now for $75. All right.
Oh, shipping?
I don't know. That might be a deal breaker.
Yeah, listen, listeners, I know that Christmas has already happened, but if there's someone special on your list for Easter or, I don't know, some sort of midsummer holiday, consider a Dangerous Danny Davis
Yeah.
elite
For the
signed
love
elite figure.
in your life. He looks like he could have been in Wham for sure in this Christmas season.
Interesting cat, for sure. It does say here, by the way, we didn't go through the ring names of our other two contestants here, but Dangerous Danny Davis has wrestled as Galaxian One, Danny Little Wolf, Mr. X, as previously discussed, and Dangerous Danny Davis. What's cool about him is that he played the role of the crooked referee, which we all know well. One of the cool things is that he was kayfabe disqualified from being a referee. He let a few things go that he shouldn't have. There's a lot of interesting kind of match descriptions here. But what's cool is while he was being the crooked referee, he was wrestling against Bruno Sammartino and other like legends of the early 80s and such. So, living kind of both sides of the coin here. He was thought to favor the heels, which is cool, of course.
He was thought to, allegedly.
And it says here that he involved himself in a steel cage match between Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff. When they escaped the
Amazing.
cage at the same time, he declared Orndorff the winner, while the other referee stated that Hogan won. As a result, the match had to be restarted, and Hogan eventually won. But by acting as a biased referee, a lot of the faces would attack him after the matches. And it says here that he was the referee for a match between the Hart Foundation and the British Bulldogs, and he allowed the Hart Foundation to use illegal double team maneuvers in the match.
Highly illegal.
As a result of him favoring the hated Hart Foundation over the British Bulldogs, WWF President Jack Tunney stripped him of his referee duties. That's
Jack Tunney.
Tunney, I'm sorry. By that very same night, he was approached by Jimmy Hart, the Mouth of the South. And I was asked about joining his stable. He joined up that very night with the Hart Foundation, right? Remember the people he helped win,
Course.
and became known as Dangerous Danny Davis. So in one night, a referee pushed too far by the establishment finally broke, and out came Dangerous Danny Davis. And then he, fooled around in that for a while, and nothing really happened. He did, by the way, staunchly defend his referee career on Piper's Pit, among other media segments, where he would say he never did anything wrong ever. And then he eventually kind of they wound down his. He was only wrestling from 87 to 89, and then they. From in 89, they were like, you know what, let's be a referee again. So he became a referee again. He was reinstated as a probationary referee. From that point on, his style became objective, it said. So he ceased to be
Cleaned up his
Dangerous Danny
act.
Davis.
He's just Danny Davis.
He realized the error of his ways and he went straight. And so he had a very brief dalliance as the Dangerous Danny Davis character, and then he went back to being a referee. Now, what's cool about him, and the reason why I think he's the coolest, is like clearly this guy just loves wrestling, right? Like he was willing to do two jobs in one night, literally and
Yeah.
figuratively. He continued to wrestle from 2002 to 2010 with Jersey All Pro Wrestling. He was inducted into their Hall of Fame. Oh, sorry, never mind. That's an event, the Jersey Class of 2001. My bad, but. He stuck around and like did the job until he retired. And the man is currently 68 years old, right? So, And then you mentioned earlier that he made an appearance. It says that he. Oh, interesting. This is one thing I forgot to mention, is that he gave rise to the Hebner brothers. One year after he was banned from referee duties, the twin Hebner brothers, Dave and Earl, were involved in a controversy where Earl took Dave's place and showed favoritism to Andre the Giant, helping him win the championship. So, like he was involved in the kind of the rise of the
I
Hebners, which
didn't
is.
realize there, I just knew Earl. My brain didn't know there was brothers.
Now, funny enough, I did know that there were two. Didn't one pass tragically recently?
I'm not sure that, I mean, I without knowing anything, I would believe it.
So
But I mean, I know Earl.
Dave died in 2022. That's what I remember. In Mechanicsville. It's a fun town. And Earl is still alive. Right. Yeah. So I was
Yeah.
right. Love that. Anyway, so those
And on that
constitute
delicious
your
note, golly,
your
really wrap
epithet
a bow
triple
on
threat.
it.
So I would like everyone to know that I was transfixed by the idea of. Well, and this is, by the way, I want to just say retroactively, the reason why I love the idea of these three men is that, like, there was some meme going around where it was like the ugliest man in America in 1925 would be billed in wrestling as gorgeous, Steve
Sure,
Smith or whatever, right?
sure,
Like,
sure.
the epithet is everything to me in early wrestling. It's just like, here comes badass Billy Gunn, right? Or here comes whatever. And so, like, hard body. Hardworking and dangerous all have extraordinary connotations, and in all but one case, they were, well, I guess in two cases they were absolutely correct. In one case, I don't know how dangerous he was in the end, but hard body sure as hell was a hard body and is doing
Hard
hard
time.
time. Yeah, and he deserves every bit of it. Anyway, thank you for allowing me that trip down epithet
Of
lane.
course. Of course. What delicious jobbers we have. Now, Will,
Yeah.
it's the Christmas season. It's the 23rd. I'm hoping to dump this out tomorrow with minimal editing so people can enjoy this, in their Christmas gatherings that are coming or going, or potentially, if they need to, slither away like from a stressful situation, and
Or
feel festive.
they could gather around the fire with grandma, and we
Yeah.
could remember the times gone by.
Gather around the Bluetooth. Let's listen to some wrestling wiki about Santa Claus. I've sent you an article
Okay.
that I made, clearly. No.
Yeah.
But it's loaded with a lot of sauce. And I want you to be able to follow along. And I'm actually just gonna occasionally, I'm gonna have you take a couple of these. But these are
Okay.
eight fantastic stories. I've picked my favorite eight about wrestling and the intersection of the holidays.
I
Of
love
old
it.
Santa Claus here, okay? And we're gonna start off with the classic one as we go into the meat of this week's subject. In this Christmas episode, we're going to start off with the wonderful Santa Claus.
This
Okay.
picture is absolutely unhinged.
It's really
I just
something.
want to say.
The Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, alongside Santa Claus, In Your House 5 pay-per-view, took place in 95. He was a master of playing the heel, as we all know. He's supposed to be, rich dirtbag. He's pastor now.
Well, it turns out he didn't stray too far from the gimmick, though, in the end.
Well, yeah. Forgot about that part. During the pay-per-view that took place, Savio Vega joyfully distributed gifts alongside Santa Claus. That, when you're at home and everyone's like, "Oh, who's going to play Santa?" and hand out the gifts. I wish Savio Vega was handing out gifts for me. However, the scene took a dramatic turn, and also I want to credit on Pro Wrestling Stories, Kevin Tanza, throw him grabbing this stuff. This is a delight. Just some epic curation here, okay?
Always quote. We typically read from Wikipedia articles, which are, community edited, but this, all credit to Kevin here for the gathering of
Yeah,
these great
wiki and
stories.
like just a lot of times the subsections just have a lot of extra sauce, that flave. Okay, so the scene takes a dramatic turn when Ted DiBiase makes a grand entrance, confidently asserting his power and even offering to buy Santa Claus. been there.
Every man has his price.
Every man has his price. Come on out here, Santa. In a shocking twist, DiBiase commanded Santa to attack Savio Vega. But this was no ordinary Santa. Revealed as Santa Claus, the evil brother of Santa, who was notorious for stealing presents.
And in a very, by the way, in a very 90s like aesthetic, evil just means has dark beard. Like the
yes.
picture here just shows a man, like a kind of a, you know, a man wearing big high-waisted trousers, but has beard, and it therefore looks
boo,
very
boo.
Boo.
Yeah. he turned on Savio Vega, launching into a fierce assault. You know, and this was just emblematic of our boy Ted's career, you know.
Of course.
Nothing will be more legendary heel than him kicking that basketball out for that kid's hands. Oh my gosh. Kid's probably still got trauma now. That's jacked up.
That was pretty incredible. I forgot about that.
Okay. Will, I'm gonna go to another one. I want you to go to number three on the
number
list
three.
Here.
Yes, sir.
From
Oh
a visual
boy.
From a visual standpoint.
Oh boy.
This is my favorite.
Oh boy.
Will, if you could do your best, describe what you are looking at.
You know what's even worse?
Let me
I'm gonna
tell
describe it for you.
Yeah. It's first, let me name it, and then I want you to describe it.
Yeah.
This is the USWA, and they had a Christmas wrestler named the Christmas Creature. All right, the floor is all yours.
Yeah, well, and I'm gonna give you my knee jerk reaction. I swear to God, but I couldn't ignore the fact that the photo, the subtext under the photo, does mention this is Glenn Jacobs, Kane,
Yes.
mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, the Big
Yes.
Red Machine. So,
And you know what he doesn't like?
what's
He
that?
doesn't like all of the parody Kane wrestlers. Okay.
No, of course not. Yeah, but the
But you
Christmas
know what?
Creature,
You know what
that's
he kind of
canon.
you know what he kind of looks like right now? He kind of looks like famed indie wrestler Candy Kane to me. All right.
So to describe, dear listener, the Christmas Creature, imagine you are 10 years old and you have forgotten that you have to do a school project. And that school project involves dressing up as a Christmas present. There's a gentleman in the ring wearing a green morph suit with the sleeves cut off and then new sleeves reattached that are candy striped, but not candy striped in a normal barbershop pole kind of way. It's just rings of white that don't connect, which doesn't look like a candy cane in the end. It just looks like a red and white flag. And then there is tinsel wrapped clumsily across the body in two X's, one meeting at the crotch, one meeting at the sternum, and then coming up around the top of the head. And then just maybe the best
the
part
mask.
is over the, well, if you can call it a mask, Chris, it is just all of the additional tinsel kind of smushed.
Yeah, his mask is just tinsel, and I think there's eye holes.
I mean, that's a generous read. It just looks like they took the rest of all of the tinsel and smushed it up into his face hole in the morph suit, and then voila.
You get
It's
out
the
there.
Christmas
You get
Creature.
out there, Christmas Granger.
This
You
has
know,
implications far beyond. I have to decompress the Christmas Creature.
This is what got him noticed by WWE. They're like, this guy gets it. Oh, look at that. Look at that Christmas Creature.
He's huge.
Okay.
He's enormous.
So, this was a, you know, a classic just regional territory thing, especially in, you know, more 80s, 90s. This wrestler, the Christmas Creature, was a literal Christmas-themed monster who terrorized smaller wrestlers in the company. Who hasn't? What a lot of, as we know, this was Glenn Jacobs as Kane. This was secretly, he didn't know it. He was debuting for, you know, his future role. He debuted this festive yet fearsome character in 92, wearing a costume that was as memorable as it was bizarre. In 2018, in an interview with Jerry Lawler, he revealed the heartwarming origin of his outfit. So my mom made this costume. Kevin
Oh, well,
Lawler.
listen, hold on. Time out. I just slam dunked on this costume super hard. And if we're being honest, my second analogy would have been, this is what your grandma would have put together for you if she knew you were a wrestler and you needed a Christmas costume.
Well,
100%.
It's a good thing you're a seamstress and can do better, apparently. Okay, respect this woman. So my mom, he said, made me this costume. Kevin Lawler, the son of Jerry, designed it. And my mom put it together. Green mask, candy cane, striped sleeves, tinsel, tights, and all. The costume just wasn't visually striking. It was a technical marvel, too. The costume even had flashing lights with a battery pack. In 92, that's amazing.
Yeah, you know there's some ever-ready sea cells in there. It probably weighed 15 pounds.
Look. Here a whole lot of I'm ready for your Christmas creature next year.
I mean, listen, I honestly, genuinely think I could do better. I'm standing behind this.
You've got modern technology now. You have
That's a good
YouTube,
point. Yeah,
you know,
that's a
to
good point.
research. The
Amazon.com.
DIY approach to his early gimmick showcases the humble beginnings of one of wrestling's most iconic characters. Kane reflected on the gimmick's legacy. I don't have the outfit anymore. My mom made that. It's in the attic someplace, but I don't know exactly. It's somewhere in my folks' house. While the Christmas
Well,
creature may not have
if
been.
Kane's parents are still alive, that's a miracle.
They
In
could have had him really
2019,
young, man. It's a different
I
time.
guess. Yeah, fair enough.
While Christmas Creature may not have been Kane's breakthrough moment, it remains a cherished piece of wrestling history, showcasing the creativity and family support that often goes into crafting a wrestler's early persona. Love
All right,
it.
Chris, I'm gonna level with you, buddy. This sounds like ChatGPT. That does not sound like
The last
that's
part, the
yeah,
last
what the
part.
hell?
Yeah, a little bit. A little bit.
Cherish a speech of wrestling history? We just found out about this. Who cherishes this besides us?
What do you mean? I'm now cherishing it.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's not like it was not previously cherished by anybody besides.
I don't know. He's talking to Lawler on a podcast. All
I
right.
guess. I guess.
Show, man, show some respect.
Just
Gosh.
it sounds a lot like GPT to me.
Hey, and speaking of respect, I want you to go to number five. Okay. And
I dig
I
it.
want you to read our number. This isn't on order, but on your list, number
All
five, I want you to read this one for our wonderful listeners in this Christmas edition of Wrestling Wiki.
right. The headline of number five, above a picture that's pretty triumphant, says John Cena saves Christmas.
Course.
And there is a listener, a picture devoid of any Christmas imagery,
I see
at
a lot
all.
of
It's
spirit in that picture. I don't know what
a
you're
lot of
talking about.
spirit, a lot of love, a lot of joy. It's just John Cena and Trish Stratus hanging out, and he's gesturing
He's
wildly
just like,
towards
I'm looking
somebody.
cool. You're looking
Yeah.
hot.
Classic hustle, loyalty, respect t-shirt. It was his 2008 peak Cena, but he's apparently going to save Christmas. Do you want me to go on?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I would like you to tell this tale.
So, as we know, in 2008, he was, this is peak Cena.
Says you,
On,
says you.
well, I mean, I think peak Cena, it's undebatable. He was going over in every match.
We'll see if the
So much
article
so.
says that this was during Cena's most cherished era at the end. Okay.
It says John Cena was the face of WWE for more than a decade. So they were looking for someone to, quote, save Christmas. It
Been
was
there.
him. In 2008, this was shown to the world. On Raw, Beth Phoenix and Santino Marella came out to the ring with the cruel idea of telling the children the truth about Santa Claus. I love the idea of Santino
Yeah.
Marella ruining Christmas. That's very good.
With this little snake hands, like, gonna tell him, he's like, I can't stop it, you know?
But the leader of the C Nation came out to save the day. Together with Trish Stratus, they defeated both Phoenix and Marella in a tag mixed tag match to prevent them from spilling the beans.
That's good
So
stuff.
it was the stated I it's it was the stated goal of Phoenix and Marella to ruin Christmas for the kids.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
Cena came out and defended their innocence.
They're like, I'm gonna beat you up. You can't.
And you know what? It was saved forever. He did it once. He did it so good.
All right. Now I'm ready to get on to our next entry into these Christmas tales.
Well, how could it get any better than John Cena saving Christmas is my question.
Hey, you know, Trish helped save it too, buddy. All right. All right.
Let's not forget. Let's not forget. But
Golly, it's
and also mixed
2024.
tag matches were kind of a new hot commodity at that point.
Okay, so what I have for you next, dear listener, is a confused AJ style is he's in a reindeer costume for some reason. He looks very, very none too pleased in
Think Taylor
2017.
Lautner. Think Taylor Lautner in Twilight. Kind of heavy brow, looking down, mouth agape.
Heavy breathing. And he's looking down at a he's in a reindeer costume. That blah 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 blah. Okay, so they had their Christmas special in 07. TNA Impact Christmas, it was called the TNA Impact Christmas Special.
Yeah, we're
I
back.
like it. Look, it goes straight to the point.
Yeah, it's not called like Christmas Massacre or like, a December
Right,
to
right.
Remember or whatever. It's
Right.
just a Christmas special 2007.
Here's what matters though. Here's the sauce, the au jus to dip this in. It had an 8-man tag Christmas theme match inside a steel cage, a 6-man double North Pole match.
Tell me how you can, how many, how can you have two North Poles?
That's good stuff. That's good stuff.
Which, by the way, I love that this like potential ChatGPT article says
Says it was very
it was
enjoyable.
very enjoyable. Objective, I guess we have to go with that. I guess, yeah, okay, fair enough. It was enjoyable.
I'm starting to think this person wrote this article, did the research, but then like select dump, like conciced it, and like this is what I
Oi.
got. And then it had the Silent Night, which was a Bloody Night match, four-way match, which featured weapons wrapped as gifts. Of
Okay.
course, the Christmas theme night also featured a barbed wire tree and a match between AJ Styles and Kaz, where the loser must wear a reindeer suit. And looking at the picture that is sent to us, I believe AJ Styles had to wear said reindeer suit.
He may have lost that match.
As all these people are pointing at him in the picture.
It's like a Renaissance painting, truly. It looks like the accusers. Oh, it's very
Yes,
good.
yeah. Speed stood for trial.
Yeah.
My, what a treat. Okay, we've got a few more here. We're halfway to the epicenter of pleasure, baby, the very end. I'm gonna give you the next one, Will.
Yeah.
Number eight.
Number
We
eight.
have
I'm headed there. Oh boy. Oh well. I will say, title aside, I just caught a glimpse of on my Mount Wrestling, or my Mount Rushmore, my wrestling Mount Rushmore, my Mount Wrestling more. Mark Henry is there,
Wow.
objectively,
Wow.
absolutely. I mean, the qualifications for your wrestling Mount Rushmore can be different, right? Like technical skill,
Course, of course.
whatever. But like, just talk about absolute powerhouse of a man, believability,
Yeah.
charisma, the whole nine. I'm a big Mark Henry mark. Anyway, I'm seeing good Santa versus bad Santa, and there's a picture where it says Mark Henry as good Santa, which thank goodness, versus Damian Sandow, the bad Santa, on Monday Night Raw, December 2020, 2013 rather. So it's in the gold the before times. When,
Yeah.
yeah, before things got weird.
Pre and post.
It says here that WWE fans may remember Mark Henry loves Christmas. Now, I didn't know that, but I wasn't watching a ton during this era. If there's going to be a Christmas special, there's a good chance Henry would be involved in it. One such time was during this particular Christmas-themed event in 2013 on an episode of Monday Night Raw where the Battle for Christmas took place.
I'm so glad that wrestling is often the crux of like, will Christmas be saved?
Yeah, this is the second time we've had to save Christmas.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
potentially the third if you think about, well, yeah, anyway, this is so he was wrestling as Good Santa as previously discussed versus Damian Sandow. During the match, everything was legal during this holiday melee. The crowd was of course on Henry's side. The stipulation was if Bad Santa won, Christmas would be canceled. Now, this begs a lot of questions. Why is there a Bad Santa? What kind of holiday does Bad Santa participate in? If Bad Santa cancels Christmas, what happens? What's Bad Santa's job
What were Damian Sandow's qualifications to be the bad Santa?
And furthermore, this is absolutely after the movie, the Hollywood movie featuring Billy Bob Thornton called Bad Santa came out. So they were aware of the connotation.
Yeah, no anti-hero here.
Yeah, exactly. In the end, as we know, goodness prevailed because Christmas is happening again this year, Chris, as far as I know. I'm Jewish, but I'm pretty sure Christmas is happening in 2024.
You're doing your capitalistic duties back there for sure.
As a result of as a direct result of Mark Henry winning in 2013, Christmas was not canceled. He won with his signature move, the world's strongest slam, saving Christmas and landing Sandow on Santa's naughty list. Again, very hard to parse because he's also Santa. Does bad Santa have a good list? And does good Santa have a naughty list?
Well, I want is bad Santa friends with Santa Claus?
Right. That's a good point. The
All
first
right.
time we saved Santa, the
Because
first
that's
time we
his
saved
evil
Christmas in a
brother.
long, yeah.
Is bad Santa like just a fill-in, like Santa Claus was off, like
That's a really good point. Are we talking sliding doors here? Is this some sort of like metaverse, like both good Santa and bad Santa exist simultaneously? It's a like bizarro Santa.
Yeah, somebody messed up the fabric of time somewhere along here.
No
Okay.
one's gonna do it. It's WWF.
And speaking of which, we're going to continue to number nine.
Oh, good.
We've got Mankind versus Santa Claus. There's just something about Mankind's look, the cut of his jib that just seems to work well here. Mick Foley is a noted, huge, Christmas fan, dresses up as Santa, the whole bit. Okay.
Also on my wrestling Mount Rushmore, for the record.
Wow. I
Oh, come on.
would love on a different episode, I'd love to hear your top four.
Absolutely.
You're like, my Mount Rushmore has two mountains.
Listen, I'm a big boy and I like big juicy boys,
Hey,
and
that's
Mick
nice.
Foley and all of his personas fit that bill.
Okay, so Mick Foley's whole gimmick is, extreme and stuff like that, but not even he was willing to hurt Santa Claus. Triple H and Stephanie McMahon. Yeah, this might be ChatGPT because it's a Triple H and Stephanie McMahon Helmsley. Love that. He definitely threw this in. He did the research, chucked it in at the end. He's like, I
We've
got art.
turned on this guy, this
Yeah.
listicle making guy, a
Look,
hundred
I'm
percent.
still having a good time. All right, I've been getting a
Yeah.
lot of good content out of it. They booked, this is the part I like. They booked Mick Foley in a boiler room match against Santa. Of course.
Because where else does Santa show up besides the boiler room?
That'd be the last, I mean, in theory, that would be like the most dangerous place. Like you get like vaporized if you jack up a
How did he
boiler.
get there? Why is he there? I
Yeah.
know that Mick Foley was on and off manager, and so maybe he was his
I'm
office
friends
in
with
there.
someone whose dad died adjusting a boiler.
You're kidding.
No.
This I'm not saying you're lying, but boy, is that a wild piece of context.
So like it's forever made me like look up the boiler room match. I'm like, I don't know, maybe you guys shouldn't be playing around this stuff. Like,
That's a bridge too
relax.
far. There's like a semi truck match. You're like, whatever, screw it. But boiler room, no way,
Nah.
dog.
Oh yeah, I don't know. I am being serious.
I believe you.
So Mankind had informed Santa that his plan was to let him win the match without causing him any harm. What a nice guy.
Nice guy.
Suddenly he was ambushed by several assailants dressed in Santa suits. A surprising twist that added chaos to an already unconventional match. That is
Who was the real
ChatGPT.
Santa? He was completely bamboozled.
I don't know. Yeah. Among his attackers were DX members Road Dogg, Jesse James, Billy Gunn, adding to, the hot mess. What a great match. I'm here to assume that him and the proper Santa, came out on top.
Yeah, I
What a
believe he won
delicious
in the end.
mess. What a delicious mess. He also, I mean, obviously, if you don't know, listener, like we said, he's a huge Christmas fan. He has a Christmas room in his house. He says, the room is my escape. It's the one place I can count on for solace. It's the one place where the world makes complete and utter sense.
I remember reading a lot about, because, during my kind of like non-wrestling watching period, there was a fair amount of media around Mick Foley because he had done these books and had kind of presented himself as this kind of intellectual wrestling guy, and against all odds. And so I remembered seeing some media of him being like constantly involved in charity around Christmas and his Christmas room, 100%. I remember that.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Worst ways to spend a buck, I reckon. All right, these are
Yeah.
our last two. These are both
Yeah.
Stone Cold themed Santa
Thank goodness.
tales, okay? All right. That picture. Again, the picture listener is Stone Cold dressed as Santa Claus at Tribute for the Troops in 03, getting ready to hit a stunner on a Vince McMahon in a suit, you know?
Yeah, he's wearing and what's even funnier to me is that not only is he about to deliver the first part of the stunner, which is of course a kick directly to the crotch, he is wearing pants that the crotch is so low, it's down to his knees, so it looks like he's wearing hammer pants. So he could even it's even odds if he's doing the hammer dance or he's about to kick Vince McMahon in the huevos.
Are his knee braces under that Santa suit? These are
One
the
thousand
questions.
percent. And you know those are high-tech boots underneath those fake boots he's wearing.
Probably.
He also, we're in Baghdad, by the way, deep in Operation Iraqi Freedom, it would
Oh,
seem.
yeah, it's 03. I love the description of the picture is Vince McMahon on the receiving end of a Stone Cold stunner from Santa,
AKA.
aka Stone Cold Steve Austin. And then it's just like, in 2003 in Baghdad, Iraq, like
Yeah,
what a.
something was going on in Iraq. We don't know. We were just there.
There was a
Also,
lot of
can I
wrestling going on,
say
apparently.
the hit rate for my wrestling Mount Rushmore is 100%. It should go without saying that Stone Cold is up there.
He definitely belongs.
Give me a hell yeah.
Okay. So they had, Tribute to the Troops, as they have many times. And the first event was held in December 03, so this was the first one. Fun.
Oh.
That's
And
fun. So
there's a long history of wrestlers in entertaining troops. Am I wrong?
No, yeah, I think I feel like they until recently still did it. Like it
Right.
wasn't
Yeah, I'll
that
do some.
long
I'll.
ago.
I feel like a lot of like John Cena's image was about like doing USO shows, but I'll do some research in the background. But this is the first time they called it the whatever it was, the
Tribute to the Troops.
tribute to the troops. Got it.
So the story goes, Vince McMahon was cutting a promo when Santa Claus appeared. Suddenly, Vince decided to attack him and told him he would kick you. He would kick his you know what if Santa disrespected him. Strong words from a strong man. Santa, in reality, was Stone Cold Steve Austin, who then proceeded to apply a Stone Cold Stunner on Vince. Chaos ensued. Christmas was saved in Baghdad once again.
And can I say?
Please say.
Probably closer to the origin of Christmas, geologically, than it being saved in, Poughkeepsie, New York, right?
Look,
So
man.
they went to the source in Iraq. They went to the Middle East where Christmas was born.
It was wild. All right, last one.
Incredible.
Last one in our Christmas-themed episode of Wrestling Wiki.
Am I?
Survival of the
This
something.
is a bit of a an Uno reverse card you've played on me,
Correct.
Chris, if I'm
Correct.
correct.
That's why I did it in this order. All right. Uno reverse. Stone Cold Steve Austin stuns Santa Claus. What?
After saving Christmas in Iraq in 2003, we are, oh, I'm sorry,
In
before. This is
97,
before.
yeah,
Yeah,
he had
okay,
a
fair
face
enough.
turn. So in 97, he's stunners Santa Claus goes face, and in 03 to say he is Santa
He's
stuns
oi,
Vince
oi.
Kennedy McMahon. Okay, all right, listener. All right. Buckle
Yeah,
up.
sorry, sorry.
Back in 97. Obviously, he's kind of the face of WWF. I mean, he's really the He's the face of like almost American
Wrestling.
television. I mean,
Yeah.
wrestling is
Pop culture.
drawing bigger ratings than football, like at times. Like, I mean, it's unimaginable. Okay. And this perhaps Chat GPT'd article says he delivered one of his most unforgettable moments of the Attitude Era that I've never heard of until this very moment.
Yeah, exactly.
During a Christmas themed segment.
A career-defining moment in 1997.
I mean, it rivals, Biker Taker Limp Bizkit entrance.
Yeah.
It's up there. I think I saw the doc on it. But anywho, one of the most unforgettable moments of the Attitude Era during a Christmas themed segment on the final Raw is War before Christmas, December 22nd, 1997.
Hey, we just missed the anniversary of this seminal moment of the
I
era, Attitude
know,
Era.
I know, I know. Things took a turn in the episode when Santa demanded that Sable, Santa,
Oof.
relax. A diva at the time, a woman who was probably the most provocative and parading her assets around.
Yeah.
He demanded that Santa demanded that Sable sit on his lap.
Talk
Nice.
about a bad Santa, Chris.
Nice.
Yeah.
yeah. What, how old would I have been at 98? Old enough. Old enough
I'll
to
tell
know
you,
I would have been like, nice.
I was 9 years old when this happened, and I probably would have had a controversial take on this whole
Yeah,
thing.
yeah, yeah. You're like, I don't know, man. Sanders is a
Hey,
good
whatever. Hey.
man. This is America, 97. As you might imagine, the situation escalated when a young fan, Jeremiah Fatu, that's crazy.
Yeah, it all goes back to that line, man. It all goes back to the bloodline, right?
Wait, brother, future WWE stars Jay and Jimmy,
Yeah. He
is
was.
this the Fatu brother that's passed?
Oh, it's time for Wikipedia.
I
Continue. I
think
will.
it might be. Anywho, he approached Santa to share his Christmas wish, only to be rudely dismissed and kicked out of the ring. And after this happened, Stone Cold appears and he Stone Cold stunners Santa for his dastardly request. I love
So,
it.
quick check. I do not believe Jeremiah Fatu has passed. I believe he is 38 years old and is doing fine. Yeah. His siblings, he is the brother of Jay and Jimmy Uso. I does not I, this is a, probably worth a deeper dive. But like, talk about being in the mix. He's 100% part of that whole crew.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. Yeah, he would have been really young then at that time.
I mean, if he's 38, then he would have been like, what, 11?
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, he's
Yeah.
my
He's your
age,
age,
so
right? Yeah.
yeah.
Huh.
Incredible. Incredible. I just love, this makes me wonder, what is today? Today's Monday,
It,
right?
today's Monday. It's,
What's
yeah,
happening
Raw's.
on Raw right now? Is Christmas in conflict? Is
Are we
Christmas
missing? Are we missing another era defining moment on Raw?
Oh my gosh. One could
Nah,
only
probably
hope.
not.
One
Probably
could
not.
only hope. But yeah, those are my Christmas tales for this year's Wrestling Wiki reunion show.
I want to thank you, and I want to thank Kevin Tanza and his ChatGPT subscription. I think together, unstoppable. I loved, by the way, I do love, like, this could have been all BS, but the pictures are priceless and are genuine and very, 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 very good. I highly recommend anybody listening. There's a lot of great ones we skipped here. I love Kurt Angle putting Santa Claus in an ankle lock.
Sure.
there's a lot of really good stuff on this particular article. Including Santa Claus winning the 24/7 championship, my favorite belt of all time, Alberto Rio hitting Santa Claus with a car. There's good stuff here. A lot of Santa has been on the receiving and giving end of a lot of punishment come this time of year for wrestling television, if you ask me.
Yeah, it's pretty 50-50. He's like either, he's either out here delivering or, taking, Xana's willing to take some bumps, it's just crazy to me he's doing all this stuff just days before Christmas all the time.
Please. Well, I mean, the man has a pretty efficient operation, and of course he's got magic on his side, so he can make it happen.
I don't know, man. It's just it seems like a lot, It seems like out of all the things he could be doing, he's like, you know what? I need to go
Taking a
get in be
stunner.
I need to get in between the ropes and see what happens. I sure.
I gotta go defend Christmas and or go get Trish Stratus to sit on my lap.
Sable,
Table, I'm
okay.
sorry. Trish helped save
Trish is
Christmas.
part of
How
the
could I?
inner gender tag match that saved Christmas in
How could
2008
I?
under one of the most, famous Raw moments of our lifetime, okay?
Right. So how could I be so obtuse? I'm so sorry.
When
This
the leader
proves
of
that
the
I'm
C
not
Nation
qualified.
saved
Oy.
Christmas once again from Beth Phoenix and Santino Morello, okay? I know all about it.
Yeah. I recently found out about it, and I know all about it. Well, I appreciate so much you finding such seasonal wrestling stories, and I both apologize and don't apologize for hitting you with all of these weirdos to start the show. I hope that the breadth and depth of the Jobber Nation is well represented on the way to this main eventer Christmas special.
Yes, please. Yes, please. May AJ Styles show back up on Raw for the first time in months in a reindeer costume
Hey,
tonight.
can I say we willed something into existence? I want everyone listening to know that one of our very first episode, Chris, remember who we profiled?
It's been a minute. Oh, Shark Boy. Shark Boy, of
Shark
course.
Boy. And
My guy.
not but a couple years ago, I was at the something anniversary. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering it at the very moment, of TNA Impact. And they
Right.
did a battle royal, and Shark Boy came out of retirement at age 40 something, and
Incredible.
he
Electric.
won it all, absolutely electric. I was beside myself. I was ringside going absolutely
I
insane.
think I would, yeah, I think I would have lost it.
It was so we tried to will the return of Shark Boy into existence, and it happened. So all I'm saying is there's power in this microphone. There's power in that old silk hat that we found on Frosty the Snowman.
If I
And
had one for me, I think I was lucky enough. I saw Curry Man's last match, and it was,
the King of Spice.
and the King of Spice hadn't wrestled in like 5 years or more at that point. Like it was just, there was a Ring of Honor taping that me and Warner were at, and it was like, it was when Ring of Honor was at its absolute zenith. We just didn't know
Sure.
it. It
Samoa
was like,
Joe, CM Punk, the whole crew.
sure, it was. I mean, it was a little past that, but like,
Okay.
it was, like the tag match was like the Bucks, Roderick Strong,
Oh wow. This is a little bit, this is a lot later than I thought.
yeah, with oh
I
my
thought we were talking
gosh,
high school here.
oh my gosh, baby, with Adam Cole, they were a tag
Adam
team.
Cole, Bay Bay.
And then War Machine,
Whoa.
and oh, who was the other two? And it was like, it was the
Was Cheeseburger
wildest.
involved? Was Cheeseburger involved?
I don't know if Cheeseburger was there, but it was a 4-man tag match. But like, they announced it was like making a surprise appearance. It was like Curry Man wrestled Roderick Strong,
Whoa.
and it was awesome. I had second row seats. There were only 10 rows at the thing,
Well,
probably,
sure.
but like.
Yeah.
It was like, I can pay $40 to be this close. And I'm
Worth it.
telling you, it was real to me in that moment. I want, there's nothing I wanted more than the King of Spice to win. Every near fall, I was dying. I was losing it. All right. And it was when wrestling was pure. Dalton Castle was like
Yeah.
very much on the
Oh
rise. He
my
just had like his
God,
Rolling
yes.
Stone spot, like all this stuff, dude. It was just such a great. A great zenith.
And I'm sorry for misplacing this in the history of ROH, because this is the era when I became a wrestling fan, was watching Dalton Castle and the Bucks
Dude,
and
it was awesome.
weirdos like Cheeseburger and the Beer City
Correct.
Brawler and all these weirdos
He had the
Man.
boys. The boys brought him
Oh,
in.
well, he's got boys. He's always got boys.
It was so good. It
Yeah.
was,
Hell yeah, man.
yeah, it was before, man, yeah, it was just like there was like a 3 or 4 year period there, especially with ROH. Like you didn't know how good it was. Like it was like, man, this is just probably as good as it'll ever get, you know? Like it just didn't know. Didn't know, but it was awesome.
You know what they say,
Electric.
Chris?
What?
You never know the good times are the good times till they're over, my man.
Come back, cheeseburger.
Come
Come
back, cheeseburger.
back, King
Come
of
bless us
Spice.
one more time.
I would lose my mind if the King of Spice showed up.
And and we all know that that's Christopher Daniels. Now, what's funny is that that's an episode in itself, is like all
Yes.
the different types of person. And there's one particular fan of this podcast that I know personally that is tuning out. He's a divisive kind of guy, but I think his resume speaks for itself,
Is
especially
King's
him being involved in the Waterworld stunt show at Universal Theater or whatever, Universal Studios.
disrespecting the King of Spice will not be tolerated on Wrestling Wiki. With that, we wish you tune back in eventually.
Yeah, sometime we'll get back to you. And Merry Christmas, Chris.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, Bill.
And a happy Hanukkah to anybody who celebrates, and a joyous and reflective Ramadan. And
How many days of
may
Hanukkah are
this
left?
Hanukkah starts on Christmas night this year, my man. So zero.
Does it
We're
wait?
eight.
It moves?
Yeah, man. Lunar calendar, dog. We're not beholden to the Gregorian
Whoa.
calendar like y'all. It's jazz. Judaism is jazz.
Judaism is jazz. All right. Your
You heard
word's
me.
not mine. Your word's not mine. You would know better than me, apparently. Oh
Good
my
night,
gosh.
God bless, and wrestling is perfect.